Tomorrow, traders hope for a Goldilocks number, not too cold, not too hot. Verizon stock flat on those reports that the FBI got a secret court order accessing all Verizon call records. And Pepsi emphatically denies reports that it's in talks to buy SodaStream. But SodaStream stock is up 3% or so anyway, Dave.
Now, the price of oil, Dennis, it is up nearly a dollar, over 94 bucks a barrel again, as gas rises a penny to 363 a gallon. That's AAA's national average for regular. The deadline is coming for victims of the Boston Marathon bombing to join a special compensation fund.
Boston's police commissioner, right after the bombing.
We have a number of 176 casualties.
Plus the families of those killed. About 250 people are eligible for a share of the nearly $40 million victims' compensation fund, but only 50 applications have been received, according to the New York Times, and the deadline is June 15th. The Massachusetts Bar Association calls for an extension, but One Fund Boston Administrator Ken Feinberg won't budge. He says experience shows they'll get a flood of applications in the next week. Steve Knight, Fox News Radio.
Last night in Boston, a double overtime hockey thriller.
Marchand delayed now.
Patrice Bergeron won it for the Bruins, beating the Penguins 2-1 on NBC Sports Network. Boston takes a 3-0 lead in the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight, the Heat try to repeat, starting the NBA Finals in Miami. The defending champs take on the San Antonio Spurs in Game 1. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Hi, my name is Jason Gabori, owner of Green Globe Insulation. I'd like to talk to you about saving some money on your energy bills. We offer blow-in and spray foam insulation for your home, metal building, shop, or barn. Our insulation will not only add comfort, but can strengthen your structure and prevent moisture problems. Let my team of professionals at Green Globe Insulation protect your greatest investment and make your home or building more cost-effective. Give me a call at 785-330-5000 for a free estimate. That's 785-330-5000.
Hey, look what's going on at Briggs Auto. Briggs, the easy way to buy, just give it a try. BriggsAuto.com. Check us out online, you're gonna love what you find. BriggsAuto.com. At home, or at work, or in your spare time. BriggsAuto.com.
Out of sight.
Hey, look what's going on.
The Kansas City Disc Dogs are coming for the Land of Oz 3 Disc Dog Championship June 15th and 16th at the YSI Sports Complex on West 27th in Lawrence. It's a fun, free family event where kids of all ages can enjoy the acrobatics of these four-legged athletes. You can be a spectator or be a competitor. Visit kcdiscdogs.com to sign up and get more information on getting your furry friend into the novice or advanced classes at the Land of Oz 3 Disc Dog Championships June 15th and 16th at YSI Sports Complex on West 27th in Lawrence.
Here are some of the rules for winning any on-air contest on 1320 KLWN. You must be a Kansas resident. Contests may be age-restrictive. Prizes are non-transferable and cannot be substituted. One winner per household in a 30-day period. Prizes must be claimed within 30 business days. For a complete set of general contest rules, log on to klwn.com or stop by the studios at 3125 West 6th Street, Lawrence, Kansas during regular business hours. Good luck and thanks for listening to 1320 KLWN.
Weather you can depend on with meteorologist John Weatherby, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low is 55. We're mostly sunny, northwest breeze. There's a slight chance of late afternoon sprinkles, high of 75, and a slight chance of evening sprinkles tonight. Later, partly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny all day. High tomorrow, 74. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Thank you, John. Currently 64 here in Lawrence. It is 9:07 on this Thursday, June 6, 2013. Time now for the Lawrence Business Magazine. Here's your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you, and welcome to the Lawrence Business Magazine, where we have in-depth conversations to follow up on articles and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. And one of the positive things we have in our community is the Boys and Girls Club. They do a lot for our community, and today I have Al Hack and Colby Wilson to talk with us about the Boys and Girls Club. So good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for having us on.
Good morning, Ann.
It's always fascinating to me how much the Boys and Girls Club does, and we're going to get into that at length because I think even people that are familiar with it will kind of be impressed with just the extent that you guys do. I want to talk a little bit about personally you guys, kind of, you know, Al. I know a little bit about your history, but let's talk a little bit about kind of your history with Lawrence and how you got involved with the Boys and Girls Club. And then I want to do the same thing with, with Colby, who's the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club, right?
Yes.
So we'll start with Hack, since he's got Mr. Hack's got a longer, you know,
I'm
history.
Older, is that what you're saying?
How much time do we have?
That was a very sweet way to lead into that. Well, I don't know how far back you want to go, but I'm not actually a native. I was born in Stillwater, Oklahoma, but moved to Lawrence when I was 1 year old. So really, Lawrence is all I've ever known. Yeah. But actually, my involvement with the Boys and Girls Club goes back about 20 years now. And I became interested in it actually through one of my business partners was on the board. And we would talk about the Boys and Girls Club in the state that it was in at that point. And he was going off the board, and I suggested that I'd like to get on. And so I was interviewed and given an opportunity to get on the board about 20 years ago, and have been on it ever since.
Wow.
And have seen some amazing changes through the time. But as for motivation, gosh, there's so many things that go into that. It would seem to me that with the advent of two-income families, perhaps either, you know, a single parent who has to work or two parents that both have a need to work, it opened up this question about what do we do with our children, you know, especially in that time frame when about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when school gets out, up until the time where mom or dad or both of them are able to get home from work.
Right.
And it was just an opportunity to kind of fill a real void there for not just, you know, some people think it's a daycare, but it really isn't, you know. There's so many things the club offers in the way of development for young people. So the story just appealed to me, and the more I thought about it, the more I wanted to get more directly involved with it, beyond just being a contributor. I thought I want to spend some volunteer hours there. So it's been the best ride of my life. I urge everyone, whoever has a chance to volunteer in some fashion for the Boys and Girls Club, to do so.
Well, that's great, and I know that you guys have a lot of opportunities to do that. We can talk about some of those specifically here, too, in a minute. And I want to, when you, of course, I got to know you because your wife is one of my favorite people, Miss Hack.
That's Mrs. funny,
Hack.
Me too.
So, now, what is your day job?
My day job is I'm in the insurance business.
Right.
Yeah, Calvin Eddie Kappelman, or since that's a mouthful, we go by CEK Insurance now.
So at CEK, so the company itself allows kind of like, because it takes a lot of time, these boards and things like that. So it's nice being part of a company and a company philosophy that really allows.
Yeah, in fact, we encourage it.
That's
great.
I
think one of the things that really makes an organization well-rounded is to have their people out in the community and involved and investing some of their time for the betterment of the community.
Yeah, it makes the whole company. That's one of the things nice about this this community, as we both know. Now, one of the things, now let's talk to Colby, who's has definitely a shorter history. Let's find out. how did you get to be in Lawrence and part of the Boys and Girls Club? What's your history?
Well, my history with the Boys and Girls Club started about 11 years ago. I was actually in graduate school at Seattle Pacific University for sports management. My goal was to ultimately get into collegiate athletics and, you know, some of the things that I saw in college sports around the win-at-all-cost mentality and how, you know, money was driving, you know, a lot of the decisions that were being made, and you know,
like
many times. And it frustrated me because many times it was compromising the integrity of the competition and all that stuff. And I wanted to, you know, be a change agent in that field. And you know, as I learned more, at the same time, while I was in grad school, I got a part-time job in the athletic department at the Boys and Girls Club. And as I learned more about the big business of college sports, I realized that I would have a bigger impact in youth sports and in youth development, and I could do some of the things, create more, some of the change that I wanted to do at that level much faster than at the collegiate sport level. So really fell in love with the mission of the Boys and Girls Club. And then shortly after I graduated, it became more, you know, more than about just sports, but then also just youth development, character building, academic success, and decided that this is what I wanted to do. Was fortunate enough to have some opportunities in the organization in Tacoma, Washington. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, decided I wanted to be an executive director and take that next step in my career, and started preparing for that. And then about, 15, 16 months ago, the board here in Lawrence gave me an excellent opportunity to come out here and lead an organization that has grown tremendously, and it is, I think one of the best kept secrets in the nation as far as boys and girls clubs and how many kids we serve in a small town. And, obviously with the success of Trey Dudley and her national award, I mean, this is not so much a secret anymore, but, the what's happening here is pretty special, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
That's great. Now, let's just talk about that for a second. When you talk about the mission, what is the mission of the Boys and Girls Club?
Our mission is to enable all young people, especially those who need us most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, responsible citizens.
Very nice.
And,
okay.
That's a big goal.
It is a big goal.
And
I think there's nothing wrong with having big goals.
Yeah, absolutely. A key statement in there is that especially those who need us most, mm-hmm. and what does that look like? And here in Lawrence, I mean, I think, Al already kind of spoke to it, but, when many people think of the Boys and Girls Club, they think at-risk youth, disadvantaged youth. And yes, that's our core mission, and that's why the Boys and Girls Club was created 140 years ago. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But as our country has changed, mm-hmm. and our nation has changed, we've as Al said, there's this new demographic of kids whose both parents are working, not necessarily struggling financially, but still need a positive place to go after school. And so we've kind of really stepped into that opportunity here in Lawrence, and are serving, both the kids, at risk and disadvantaged and maybe in a high poverty situation, but then also that demographic where both parents are working, and it's just been really good mm-hmm. that we've been able to do that, I think.
Well, I think it was as the family dynamic has changed over the years, then the needs of the families have changed, and the Boys and Girls Clubs is obviously one of the organizations that's really stepped up to help meet that kind of changing. And so in that way, the Boys and Girls Club has really changed a lot over the years.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess, and Al, you can address that. I mean, when you start, you said the problems you're having when you got involved 20 years ago. Let's talk a little bit about the history of it in Lawrence, and to the point where, we're bringing in, it's always interesting to me because people say, it's a nonprofit organization. But that doesn't mean you don't have to have a serious budget. You have a lot of costs. You have a lot of volunteers, but you also have to have paid staff and people that are responsible there that are really running your organizations. So let's talk about how that kind of the business of it has changed, and also just the how it works in Lawrence has changed over the last 20 years. When you started, it was not the organization it is now. It was much smaller.
It was much smaller. My earliest memories of it were still wonderful memories, but mm-hmm. it was very limited in its scope. We had one location, which essentially, it's still there. That mm-hmm. location is still there. It's part of our organization now as a teen center, but we had one spot out on Haskell Avenue, and capacity there realistically was about 120.
Oh, so it was way out.
Yeah, way out on the east side.
Okay.
That's right. And capacity was very limited, mm-hmm. and so we were serving, I think, if we really jammed kids in there, we were serving about 150 people,
wow.
or 150
mm-hmm.
kids. And interesting, we had a budget of probably about $140,000 to $150,000 a year. And mm-hmm. most of that went to pay a mortgage on the building and to pay the staff. And the mm-hmm. staff back at that point was a total of maybe 8 or 9 people,
mm-hmm.
So... When Colby's predecessor came to town and joined, I can't remember when Janet first
would it be 13 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 13 years, yeah.
But she initiated a vision where we were at capacity all the time, and she said, how can we grow? You know, how can we grow the number of kids we can serve? And so she approached one of the principals of one of the grade schools with the idea of perhaps we could put a second location there. And it took
So for after school, yeah, they would just keep it at the school. Okay.
Keep it at the school. So that's kind of where it started. And after, it didn't happen quickly, but she was able to convince one and then another one and then another one. So slowly we have kind of worked our way up to we're in, I think, every grade school now in town except maybe
two,
I think, at
12
this
out of 14.
Although working on those two. So
yeah. You know, yeah.
So at any rate, it went from this rather limited local one site that we operated to this collaboration with the school district. And the collaboration, and I'll have Colby talk about this, but it's far more than just now the use of a building. You know, there is amazing coordination between the club staff, a program manager that's in charge of that, and the counterparts at the school, you know, from the principal down through the teachers. And there's been some interesting things happen with a continuation of things that have happened during the school day that need to then be focused on in the after-school program, because, you know, it can be a child that needs a little additional help in a particular area of homework, and that gets communicated as the day wears on into the after-school program, and that child gets some additional help. But Colby, you might talk about how some of the other...
Well, why don't we do that when we come back, sit down, and we'll sit down and talk about kind of how the system works through the day and how you're working with the schools and kind of how that relationship sets up when we come back after the break.
1320 KLWN. Depend on it.
Allie's Village Memory Care Homes is customized care for those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. At Allie's Village, the focus is your family, with personalized care through the eyes of those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. Allie's Village is designed to provide individual and companion living arrangements, with individualized care for the one living with Alzheimer's. Each room is decorated as the patient's own residence, decreasing the anxiety of living with Alzheimer's. At Allie's Village Memory Care Homes, the focus is on your family. Allie's Village Homes.
Nice weather means road trips, but all the driving can be hard on your vehicle and your vehicle's engine. Havoline Motor Oil with Deposit Shield reduces wear and friction at high temperatures, reduces engine deposits, keeps the engine cleaner, and preserves and protects the engine. Visit your nearest Hardware Hank today for Havoline Motor Oil with Deposit Shield and feel better on your next road trip.
The Royals battle the Astros at the K Friday at 7:10. It's Girls Night Out, and the first 10,000 ladies get a pink KC cap, presented by KC Chevy Dealers. Fireworks after the game, presented by Hy-Vee and Pepsi. Saturday at 6:15, the first 10,000 fans get a retro powder blue jersey, presented by Fox Sports KC. Sunday at 1:10, it's K-State Day, presented by Fox Sports KC and Rally House. Don't forget your tickets at royals.com, 1-800-6-ROYALS, or Hy-Vee. The Kansas City Royals, come to play.
Weather you can depend on with meteorologist John Weatherby, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low is 55. We're mostly sunny, northwest breeze. There's a slight chance of late afternoon sprinkles, high of 75, and a slight chance of evening sprinkles tonight. Later, partly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny all day. High tomorrow, 74. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Thank you, John. Currently 64 degrees in Lawrence, 70 here at the studios of KLWN. It's radio you can depend on. Thursday, June 6th, it's 9:23. The Lawrence Business Magazine now continues with your host, Ann Fram Herzog.
I'm here with Al Hack and Colby Wilson from the Boys and Girls Club. And before the break, we were kind of talking about kind of the history and how the business of the Boys and Girls Club has changed and how it's grown. And, that, and Colby, let's talk with you a little bit about how you guys work with schools, because that was something when, you know, Boys and Girls Club was always just kind of separate. That's how I remember it. Like you said, it was in a separate building and kind of it wasn't a big deal at the time. Now, it's actually, the Boys and Girls Club is a big deal. It's in 12 of the 14 schools, grade schools, and you guys are kind of really integrated into a lot of their programs. So let's talk about kind of that whole structure and how everything works there, because that's a lot of kids, a lot of teachers, a lot of principals, a lot of parents. So how do you deal with all that, and how does it work?
Well, there's a lot of different levels of it. Obviously, myself and our board, we're working, you know, at the administrative level with key decision makers there and the school board, and constantly trying to find ways to work together and achieve those big picture goals, like, you know, closing the achievement gap and providing, you know, all these services to kids who need it the most. But then, you know, like Al said, we've expanded this program through the elementary schools, essentially, and we're now every day after school there's 1,200 kids that are in Boys and Girls Club programs across the city, from Langston Hughes to Kennedy Elementary to Pinckney, Deerfield. And one of the key aspects of that is really our program manager position. The board and the previous director really saw that position as critical. This is a full-time kind of, you know, site manager position that is really responsible for connecting the school day with the after-school program. And so they're on-site every day, all day, building relationships with the principal, the teachers. You know, we have some part-time staff that will come in during the day as well to really find out what's going on with the kids during the school day, so we can, you know, really have greater impact after school with a lot of that academic success piece and even, you know, behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so as we really started committing to that and building those relationships, over time, the teachers in the classroom saw kids, you know, improving their behavior, their learning behaviors. Homework completion went up, and now we're even seeing some greater success in grades and some of the standardized testing. And so as they see that happening and the district sees that happening, it just became, you know, pretty obvious that we are having pretty good impact on, mm-hmm. on not just what our goals are for the Boys and Girls Club, you know, as far as, you know, character development, healthy lifestyles and academics, but also the district's goals around academic success and closing the achievement gap for, you know, minorities and high poverty youth. So we're really, you know, I think it's a pretty special thing that's happening here in Lawrence. You don't see this type of relationship. We certainly didn't have it at the clubs I worked with in Tacoma for different reasons. We had a different setup. We had standalone clubs, as you mm-hmm. as you said. It's harder to connect the school to, because when the kids are leaving and our staff aren't in the school, it's a little more difficult. So I think it's a really great model. I think it's going to become a national trend if we really want to commit to you know, the academic piece mm-hmm. of it from a Boys and Girls Club perspective.
Well, that's one of the things I always hear about people that have their kids in the Boys and Girls Club. They say, oh, it's always great because you have, I think there's homework time is kind of like first, and then you have a lot of other stuff. It's not a free-for-all. There's actually a lot of structure to what goes on, and I think a lot of people are surprised by that. And how many people do you have at each of the schools working these programs? And how do, and are they volunteers? Are they paid? Or how does that work?
Well, we achieve our mission. That's the one thing about the Boys and Girls Club. We really promote the youth development professional. Mm-hmm. So we have paid professional staff at all our sites, and it's not just the program manager. We have 150 employees across Lawrence. Each site probably has a program manager and 10 to 15 part-time mm-hmm. employees, depending on how many kids are coming to that site. And then, so each of the part-time employees we call a group leader. So they each have a group of 20 to 30 kids.
Okay.
Well, there's two of them mm-hmm. that will have a group of 20 to 30 kids, and we, you know, kind of break them up into grades. So it could be kindergarten and first grade in one group, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they're responsible for running our targeted programs. You talked about our academic program, and our signature program really is the Power Hour program, and that's the homework help and tutoring that is, you know, required across our system. Right after school, they come in. If they don't have homework, we have some type of high-yield learning activity or academic game that they have to play. And it's really structured fun. I mean, beyond the academic, the Power Hour piece, we have a program called Smart Moves, which is all about good decision making around, you know, age appropriate discussions around, you know, drugs and alcohol and bullying and healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. We have another program called Torch Clubs, which really inspires civic engagement. So kids in the clubs will plan and execute their own community service project. Like
the older kids.
Yeah. Usually it's like third through fifth grade and then into our teen program. They'll do things like, you know, help with the United Way penny drive. So each club will mm-hmm. you know, raise a little money for that. And then the other targeted program is called Triple Play, and that's really a healthy lifestyles program that looks at physical activity, sports, healthy eating, and knowledge around all those types of things. So those are just a few of the things that are on our weekly schedule that all the kids will go through at some point during the week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we bring in partners to help with those, some people that have expertise in that area. So it's good stuff.
Is it usually about a two-hour program after school, 2.5 hours? How is it?
Yeah, some of them go from after school till 6. The other thing that I didn't mention yet is at the schools where we have the later start, we have a morning program as well.
Okay.
So parents can drop off kids as early as 7:30 in the morning if they mm-hmm. have to get to work before school starts at 8:45.
Right.
So at those schools, we'll do that program, and then we'll do the after-school program till about 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And then our teen program's open till 7, and our East Heights program over, we're in the old East Heights Elementary mm-hmm. site, that's open till 7 as well.
That's great. Now, do you have, I believe, as you said, you're teaching a lot of leadership skills and mm-hmm. several of these things. Now, do you have a lot of your teenagers then? Do some of them work with some of the other programs? How do you integrate the age groups? Do you keep them separate? Do they all have separate programs, or do the older kids ever work with the younger kids, or is it kind of more separate? They have their own thing.
We have a couple different things. Uh-huh. Many of our high school members are actually employees for us,
So
they will actually, if they're in, I think, junior or senior in high school, they can be employed by us, and they'll be group leaders at some of the elementary sites. For example, Trey Dudley was a group leader at Pinckney Elementary. Mm-hmm. And so that was how she stayed connected to the club throughout high school, because we don't have a lot of, you know, high school members coming to our teen center. Mm-hmm. It's mostly a middle school program. And then from the middle school piece, we have a junior staff program, and it's not really a paid position. There's some incentives that they get, the middle school kids. But they'll go out and, like, for example, in the summertime right now, they're going out to the different elementary sites and helping our group leaders. They're not an actual group leader, but they're just volunteer support for our group leaders to help put on some of the programs. So that giving back piece is really big as the kids get older,
sure.
go through our middle school program and our teen program. They want to come back and help the kids at the elementary schools that they came up through.
Now, I think that's wonderful, because, you know, there's nothing that makes a kid sometimes feel strong, better and proud of themselves than helping out somebody else, which is a great thing for children to learn. I know I see that in my own son. But I was wondering, too, as you have your so we've been talking a lot about all the programs you have during the school year, which are great after school. But now in the summer, you have a whole summer program, which takes on a whole different level, right? Because you're talking about all day programs. And now, are these all at the schools? Where are these programs, and how are, because that's probably a whole nother influx of kids that you don't have during the regular year, isn't it?
You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, just for a minute. Yeah. I want you to give the detail of it. But yeah, you know, actually, I think most of the kids that show up at our summer sites are generally kids that we have during the school year.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a continuation of some of those relationships. But We didn't used to have a summer program, and it was we recognized the same situation that existed from the 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock mm-hmm. time really exists all day in the summer.
Right.
You know, so we wanted to provide an alternative in that arena too. So we've been kind of expanding it a little bit each year, and this year will be our biggest year by far. And Colby, talk about the size and scope of the summer program, would you?
Yeah, I think that's another great story. When I first got here last summer, there was, you know, the demand of the summer program was huge. I mean, people, when we started our registration, people were at the sites at 6 a.m.
wow.
to get in line because we didn't have the capacity
to make sure
to,
their kids got in.
Right. And
wow.
and it was in that there was that type of demand for it. And that last summer, that's after we expanded it a little bit. Right now we have 5 elementary sites. We condense down into, you know, different sites, and we rotate them around so the schools and the principals, you know, we're not in each school every summer. They need a little break from the Boys and Girls Club. But this year we have 5 elementary sites. We registered over 1,200 kids for the summer program. And on a daily basis, we're looking between 700 and 800 kids a day. After registration, we had nobody on the waiting list. It's the first time in the history of the summer program that happened. So we were able to get everybody that wanted to get in at that time. Now we have a few people that are waiting as of now, but we're going to get them in too. So just another great story. And again, it's a huge commitment financially, to be, you know, to expand a program like that, that's open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, that's a lot of staff and
yep.
a lot of responsibility.
So, you know, kudos to the board for approving that and helping us find the resources to keep that going.
Let's talk about that a little bit, just regard the resources, Al, because you're talking about, because expanding a program, you know, during the day you have your early hours, your late hours, you probably are dealing with some people that have other jobs and are still working with you, and you have your teens, but in the summer, a whole day, that's a big commitment. And that's also not only as a time, but budgetarily and mm-hmm. making sure you have all the facilities. How does the board go about saying, okay, we're going to do this, and then, okay, we've got to find the money for this? How do you guys do that and to help? Because Colby can't do it without that money.
Right, right. And, you know, that's a whole different conversation about, you know, the whole budget. But we felt the commitment to provide the service and make sure there wasn't a waiting list outstripped the concern about the summer sites don't really carry themselves financially. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far behind we fall on each one of those, but it's one of our commitments that we'll take some of the money that we've been able to raise and we will essentially invest it in those programs.
Okay.
But all the programs have essentially fees to attend. You know, mm-hmm. the daily programs during the school year and the summer programs do.
It's a sliding scale, though, right?
There are lots of different, mm-hmm. Things that come into play right. on that. You know, the fees are set, but then there's qualifications based on free and reduced lunch, qualification to adjust fees. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, we don't turn any kid away ever as a result of an inability to pay. So we can scholarship in really tough situations all the way down to zero if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that parents that can't afford it do pay their share mm-hmm. of what it costs to operate one of those sites, which is an expensive proposition. I think our budget for the upcoming year is it 2.8 million?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Is that for the full year? And then you have, so that's for the full year, but then you have your summer, budget. You have probably had to increase your budget quite a bit for the summer.
Well, we increased our expenses quite a bit.
Yeah, I bet you did. I would think so, because running those facilities just, you know, even if you're not necessarily paying rent, you're paying all the other things. I mean, you're probably paying some rent, and because there's wear and tear on those facilities.
Well, we actually have been blessed that the school district has not made us pay rent.
That's great.
They recognize. I think the beauty of it is that the school district and the club now are all together on the mm-hmm. same page, and each recognizes the value to the other.
I know Rick Dole's a very strong supporter.
He's very supportive, and I tell you, the whole school district administration, and we've dealt with many different people through the years on this, but they have been nothing but positive and supportive, and without that, you know, we couldn't even approach doing what we're trying to do right now. So they're fantastic.
Yeah.
So the budget, I'm going to get into raising $2.8 million because you have sliding scale. Some people are paying fees, but that does not raise, and that's a lot of money. That's a big budget, and it's necessary because you're serving a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about those fundraisers and things like that, but let's talk just a little bit longer about some of the summer programs. But what is a full day at a Boys and Girls Club? If somebody gets there at 7 in the morning or 7:30, whatever, what is a regular day at the Boys and Girls Club?
It looks a lot like the after-school program. It's expanded a little bit. One thing that I did want to hit that we're doing this summer that we've got some grant funds to do, first, you know, they show up anywhere between 7:30 and 9. Most of our sites have the school breakfast and lunch program, so they get a breakfast. Then we'll do a little, outside time or, you know, some time to burn off some of that energy. And then every day this summer from 9 to 11, we're doing a program called Academic Enrichment. And we've hired teachers throughout the school district to plan and kind of execute these really fun learning times, things they can't really do during the school year because they're so focused on test scores,
right,
and stuff like that,
and
come in and plan. And I haven't had a chance yet. We just started this week. I haven't had the program's going to start next week. There'll be a 6-week program every day from 9 to 11. And it's going to be really, you know, the key was we have to make this fun. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to feel like summer school.
Right.
So we piloted it last year at East Heights, and it was really successful. So we're implementing it across our program this summer.
So things like experiments, science.
Yeah, yeah.
Problems,
I think so. You know, there was an Olympics theme last year.
Okay.
There was a pirate theme where they learned about shipbuilding and navigating seas and stuff like that.
Pirates, and we won't go into some of the other pirates.
Yeah, you know the stuff where kids are they don't really know they're learning, but they are, and they're really engaged in it. And the teachers throughout the district, I think we have maybe 45 to 50 hired to do this summer. And they're just jazzed about it. They're like, this is so cool. It's going to be fun. And so that's one thing I wanted to highlight. But then again, you know, we still have the healthy lifestyles piece. We do a lot of physical activity, organized games throughout the day. Some of the community service stuff is happening where kids will plan that. And then we do field trips. Every group gets to go to the Lawrence Pool. And this is included in their membership and the fee that they pay, which is a great opportunity. We have buses. We're transporting kids to the pool, to the Lawrence Arts Center, Lawrence Gymnastics Association, all different types of things that they get to do, outside the club, which is also really cool.
That's great. So I want to do is now, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the fundraising things you guys do, some of all the different fundraisers we have to do during the year to raise this $2.8 million budget. And I also want to then talk about how many some of the other events you guys have coming up over the next couple of weeks, months, and the rest of the year when we come back.
1320 KLWN. Depend on it. When it comes to your home or business, first impressions are made at the curb. Pine Landscape Center can help you make a lasting first impression with your landscape. With a wide variety of rock, sod, soil, and mulch, our professional installation staff has the experience and knowledge to bring your landscape to life. Let Pine Landscape Center turn your backyard into an outdoor recreation paradise. Pine Landscape Center, east at TP Junction, south on 1500 Road. Stop in today or visit us online at pinelandscapecenter.com.
Dad has always had your back. Isn't it time that you had his? Well, this Father's Day, you can with Massage Envy Spa gift cards. A customized massage from Massage Envy Spa is the perfect way to help Dad relax, relieve stress, improve circulation, and so much more. Dad has always had your back. So this Father's Day, have his with a gift card for a customized massage from Massage Envy Spa. Open 7 days a week at 6th and Wakarusa in Lawrence or call 841-2000.
Join the fun at the grand opening and open house for the new Theater Lawrence building. Free and open to the public June 9th, 1:30 to 4:30 with light refreshments and guided tours. Be the first to see the newest facility in West Lawrence at 4660 Bauer Farm Drive. For more information, call the box office at 843-7469. That's 843-7469. Or visit theaterlawrence.com. Theater Lawrence, our community theater.
I'm a fast food fanatic. I love me the dollar menu. Heck, everyone loves the dollar menu. Lonnie Blackburn here from Academy Cars. I said I need a dollar menu at my store. So this week, if you want a car, it's a dollar down. SUV, dollar down. Minivan, dollar down. Truck, dollar down. Anything on my lot, it's just a dollar down. Plus, if you have a trade, you're going to get paid. I'll give up to $4,000 for any old trade, rusted, busted, or just clunked out. Cars in good condition can fetch even more. Drive a Toyota Camry for just $197 per month. Got a buck? Then you're in luck. Don't let bad credit keep you stuck. My For the People credit approval process works faster than a greasy burger. Want a car? It's a dollar down. SUV? Dollar down. Minivan? Dollar down. Truck? Dollar down. Get up to $4,000 for your old trade. Drive away for a dollar today. My name is Lonnie Blackburn, and I'm a dealer for the people in lovely Lawrence, Kansas. Online, academycars.com, or call me at 785-841-0102, Academy Cars.
Requires bank approval. Stock number 5270. Dollar down. 2.99% APR for 75 months.
Weather you can depend on with meteorologist John Weatherby, 1320 KLWN.
Morning low is 55. We're mostly sunny, northwest breeze. There's a slight chance of late afternoon sprinkles, high of 75, and a slight chance of evening sprinkles tonight. Later, partly cloudy, 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny all day. High tomorrow, 74. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
Thank you, John. Currently, it is 72 here at the studios of KLWN Radio. You can depend on at 9:45 on this Thursday, June 6th. The Lawrence Business Magazine now continues. Here's your host once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Al Hack and Colby Wilson, and we've been talking about the Boys and Girls Club. But I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town. And you can also pick up a copy of the Lawrence Business Magazine in front of the Eldridge and where Milton's used to be. I'm sure I can't remember the name of the restaurant that's there now, but those outdoor boxes, I'll remember it next time. It's also available online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com, and you can submit questions and comments for our guests and like us on Facebook, where you can also find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, we ask that you put your name on it. So, we like to, you know, if you're going to make a comment, we want to know who you are, and because then it adds validity to your, if you can't be open about who you are when you're saying things, then don't say anything.
Thank you for that.
My mother said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that we do need to be critical, but I don't think we need to just be attacking. There's a difference. There's my little soapbox. So I'll get on my soapbox. And we're going to talk a little about raising $2.8 million. That's a lot of money. Let's talk about how you break down that budget and what kind of fundraisers you have. I know you were talking about you actually get some grants and things like that, which are great. But let's kind of talk about how that budget breaks down.
Want me to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, as Al said, first, we do have some earned revenue from fees. Mm-hmm. That accounts for about, depending on the year and the size of the budget, 30% to 40%,
okay.
which is a good sustainable source. The other big chunk right now is grants. Okay. The growth that Al talked about, a lot of that was supported through a national program called 21st Century Community Learning Centers. And that's No Child Left Behind funding that comes through the state of Kansas and helps us, run these elementary sites. We get a lot of grant funding to support those sites for 5 years.
Okay.
So we get a big chunk there. We have great support from the City of Lawrence, the United Way. We consider most of that grant funding. Mm-hmm. And so that accounts for another 50% of our budget right now. And there's some concerns with that, especially on the federal level
That's what I was wondering. The economic situation is going to be changing here.
Yeah. And so, you know, the 5 years of those sites, that are supported by 21st Century, what are we doing if we're not able to continue that funding? Now, we've been able up until now to get some reapplication funding for those sites, and so it hasn't been a problem yet. But with what's going on in at the federal level right now, we're just a little bit concerned about the future of that funding. So therefore, the third part, and the part that we're really focused on from a board perspective, and even at my position, is private fundraising,
okay.
Businesses and individuals, and growing that to a point where we can absorb, a loss of a 21st Century grant,
right.
And keep that site going.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the strategies around that are really relationship building. Club tours have been a really successful thing for us. Since I've been here, we've really invited individuals, businesses to come out to our clubs and see the kids and see the programs and meet our staff and get into an elementary school and see the coordination that's happening. And people have been really impressed with that. And until they get in and see it, they really, I think, don't have a clear understanding and picture of what it is we're doing.
So how does someone go about, doing these tours? Are these things that you offer, like, okay, we're doing a tour this week, or how do you do that to kind of encourage that?
We set them up on an individual basis.
Okay.
Whenever anybody has time to come out to the club, myself or a board member, also Erica Zimmerman, who is our director of development, will be available to meet them at any site they want, to walk them through, talk about the programs, introduce them to our program managers and staff. So we've been really trying to schedule those whenever anybody wants to make that happen.
Right.
And so we're, the summer program's going right now. Anybody in the community that wants to come, take a look at that and learn more about the club, we're excited to do that for them.
That's great. When they become more aware of all these things you should do, they start to say, "Well, this is an organization that we want to keep funded."
Right.
And hopefully now, how do you go? So, if somebody wants to do that, can they donate online? What's your website? Or do they?
Yeah. In fact, it's a pretty darn cool, fully developed website at this point. We've been working on that hard over the last year, but we have. An ability to donate right on the website. I think there's a donate button.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's the technical term. Hit the button, so you can do that online.
Okay.
We do some direct mail pieces that at the end of the year, usually that is when we send out a direct mail piece. But we have some really interesting and fun fundraising events, too, two in particular that I'm really excited about how they've grown through the years.
Let's talk about a couple of those. I know you have one coming up here not too long.
Towards
the end of the summer here.
It's our annual Red Dog Run.
Okay.
And that's kind of a cool history on that. There were some of us that were in the Red Dog program with Don Gardner, and then we're also working for the Boys and Girls Club. And we were sitting around a breakfast meeting one day and trying to figure out fundraising for the Boys and Girls Club. And I asked Don if he would be willing to have a fundraising run named after him to honor him for his, at that point it was about 20 years of volunteer service running the Red Dog program.
Wow.
And he was all over it, thought it was a great idea. So we have had oodles of fun with that over the last 7 years, I think. Is this our seventh?
Red Dog Nine.
Red Dog Nine.
Red Dog Nine.
Time flies. But we'll have 400 to 500 runners.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 5K and a 10K. They're
okay.
Sanctioned runs.
Okay.
So that they qualify people for other events that they want to attend.
Okay.
And we've done it over the last couple of years around the Haskell campus, which is a beautiful area for running. And I think that's where it's going to be again this year.
Yep.
Colby.
Yep, it's going to be Haskell. So we've added a little family element to it. Usually it's just a 5K. I don't know if you mentioned this. It's just a 5K and a 10K, mm-hmm. But we're actually adding a 1 mile family fun run walk. Okay. So we're trying to get a lot of our families that come to the club out and involved in this event too.
So people can enter. They can they pay a fee. They get a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. I assume.
Yeah, they do. They do get a goodie bag, including the T-shirt and the opportunity to hang out with a bunch of fun people.
Sure.
You know, and you know, runners are all great people.
So when is this going to be? When is the annual?
August 3rd, Saturday, August 3rd.
Usually the first Saturday in August when it's nice and cool.
That's what I was thinking. It looks like we're starting it. It starts. I see here on the thing. It starts at 7 a.m. So mm-hmm. you're trying to get a little
pretty early,
before
yeah.
it gets too hot.
Absolutely.
You have to do
Absolutely.
Those summer runs a little pretty early there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of businesses in town that help support us. You know,
Great.
Some volunteer. They do in kind. They do sponsorships.
Great.
And, it's quite a team effort. You know, around
those
the
runs
community.
Take a lot of these, work.
Pull
they
it
do.
Off, yeah. So we're really proud of that, and it's as Colby mentioned, it's in its ninth year, which is, it's got, you know, it's sustained itself mm-hmm. very nicely, and a lot of the participants in that are folks that are in the Red Dog program. So we really owe a huge debt of gratitude to Don and his group of runners to help support this event.
That's great. So you have the Red Dog Run that's coming up. And I'm assuming they can find out more information on the website about that as well. What's your website address? And we'll put it on our website too.
BGC is in Boys and Girls Clubs, LKLawrenceKansas.org.
Okay.
BGCLK.org.
And I'm sure you could also Google it, I'm sure. Boys and Girls Club Lawrence, you can't remember that. We'll also put it on our website. But now I want to ask a couple of things. So we have that coming up, but you have. That's going to raise you some money.
Uh-huh.
But what are a couple other? What are some other events you guys do? I know you
well,
had some. One other thing
Colby
you said.
I'm going to talk about the Mardi Gras party because it was just
the
most
Mardi
fun
Gras
I've ever
party.
Had in my life.
Yeah.
And you can't remember it probably.
Well,
that's why you
some,
want Colby
some,
to talk about it.
Some vagueness to it. And I'm not the only one.
Right. Right.
But you talk about that, and then I'll talk about one campaign a little bit.
Yeah. The Mardi Gras party, this was the first year, Matt Llewellyn, who's on our board, fantastic resource development chair for us and just had this vision of creating a fundraising party, for the Boys and Girls Club and, put together a great committee of volunteers, not, you know, Boys and Girls Club staff or even board members, just community volunteers that wanted to, help the Boys and Girls Club, but then also, you know, have a fun event. So I think, was it March? Yeah, I think it was in March. Early March, we had a great event out at Alvamar Country Club. They set us up and gave us a great deal on it. I think maybe 200 people came. We had great Zydeco band and did a little auction, silent auction and a little live auction. But it was really just about people getting together and having fun and charging an entry price and had mm-hmm. some door prizes and stuff.
Great.
And I think that event is going to take off. We may have an opportunity, I think, to really, you know, find a little niche here with this Mardi Gras thing here in Lawrence.
That sounds great.
Matt is just gung-ho about it, and it was a great leader for us on that.
That sounds like a good Matt project there.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
That's great. Now, you had one other thing, because we're getting...
Just a quick one here. But the one campaign we've just learned, and it kind of ties in with the tour concept that Colby was talking about, but we have learned that if you can just get somebody to sit down with you one-on-one and have an opportunity to have some quality time to learn about the program, then asking for funds to support us after a meeting like that is a lot better than doing massive,
sure.
you know, like across the board mm-hmm. attempts. So we're trying to kind of combine the one campaign, which is our old original fundraiser name, with the tour concept, and it's really paying some great dividends for the club.
Well, that's great. So getting really people out there and organizations and everybody to come out and support, and hopefully we'll get you guys, it really, I mean, 1,200 kids and your summer programs, I haven't heard anything but people just talking about how well those programs go. You guys a fantastic job. So keep it up and keep that money flowing to them there, Al. Keep that.
Will do, and it goes to the staff. They really make it happen. So congratulations to Colby and his team.
And I love that, and then just your business model, too, of making sure that all the managers and all the people at the different schools are paid, so they have responsibility. They're making the salary. They're learning those business skills, even just learning to show up at a job and be there and be responsible. The whole program, I think it's such a healthy environment that you supply, and as role models, you guys do a great job. So thank you.
Thank you, Ann. This is great.
It. And I can go again to bgclk.org.
Yes.
Correct? So Boys Girls Club Lawrence, Kansas.org. You can go there and donate heavily and show up to other events, check out their stuff. I mean, I think anybody that's had a kid go through Boys and Girls Club is already a supporter. So just letting other people in the community know that you're out there, that's great. And we will make sure people also go to the Red Dog Run, because that's always good. August 3rd, though.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Well, actually, with this year,
it's okay.
It could be a freezing day. Who knows?
And you can just do the walk.
They can do the walk, the family walk. I might be doing that. Thank you very much. Our listeners can get links to your site from our magazine online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com and like us on Facebook for updates. The Lawrence Business Magazine, every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
Thank you, Ann. It is 64 degrees at the Lawrence Municipal Airport, 72 here at the studios of KLWN. Slight chance of sprinkles later this afternoon and a high of 75, low 53 this evening.
News, sports, and weather on 1320 KLWN Lawrence, radio you can depend on.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. Verizon customers are finding out the government is logging their phone calls.
I think it's an infringement of my privacy.
I'm okay with it as long as right now it's just phone numbers.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern is live in Washington.
A judge sitting on the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court approved an order on April 25th requiring Verizon to hand